This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Each year, dozens of base jumpers leap from the New River Gorge Bridge during Bridge Day. But how do they get to that point?
People who teach base jumping courses won't accept you into their base jumping course until you've had at least 200 skydives.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. West Virginia University has approved more academic cuts at its Kaiser and Beckley campuses. Chris Schultz has more.
The West Virginia University Board of Governors voted to discontinue five programs at its regular meeting Friday. Chemistry, mathematics, and aviation management will be cut from the offerings at WVU's Institute of Technology in Beckley, while majors in recreation, parks and tourism resources, and wood science and technology will be discontinued at Potomac State College in Kaiser. The vote is the latest part of the university's academic transformation. That process was accelerated by the announcement of a $45 million budget shortfall last year, which resulted in the board cutting close to 30 majors and hundreds of faculty positions at the Morgantown campus. The board also approved Friday a budget for the 2024-2025 fiscal year. It was noted the projected budget shortfall has been closed, and the university's cash on hand has increased over the last year. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
2 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court made possible the near-total abortion ban in West Virginia. Jack Walker has an update on what that's meant for West Virginia women.
More than 2,200 West Virginia residents traveled out of state to receive an abortion in 2023, according to an organization that researches reproductive health. Most traveled to neighboring states with less strict abortion laws. Among them, 820 went to Maryland and 600 went to Pennsylvania. After the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June 2022, a near-total abortion ban took effect in the Mountain State. The law prohibits abortion except during medical emergencies or when a fetus has no chance of survival. It makes some exceptions for rape and incest, but only until 8 weeks of gestation for adults and 14 for minors. The number of abortions provided nationally increased by 11% between 2020 and 2023. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
The Allegheny Front, based in Pittsburgh, is a public radio program that reports on environmental issues in the region. Here's their latest story about flood prevention along the Ohio River.
As the climate changes, scientists expect floods to become more frequent. What one town is doing to prepare. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Kara Holsoppel. This spring has been particularly wet in parts of Pennsylvania and Ohio. Pittsburgh, Columbus, and other areas saw record-breaking rainfall in April, and towns along the Ohio River have experienced flooding recently. So the small city of Shelby, Ohio, is trying to think ahead. Hayden Gray of the Richland Source reports.
I'm standing on the banks of the Black Fork, a branch of the Mohican River that flows just between Columbus and Cleveland. Right now, there are flood warnings in effect and the water is really rushing. But 17 years ago, it was even higher. Where I'm standing now was underwater. It had rained torrentially for days, and I remember going to the high school football field only to find it submerged. That 2007 flood was especially damaging, but recurring flooding is a norm here in Shelby.
Having lived here now since 1981, I've watched it ebb and flow, as you can well imagine, said a lot of prayers and many days and nights.
That's City Mayor Steve Shagg. He was working as a pastor the first time he experienced a flood here back in 1987. His church basement filled with 5 feet of water.
The look of it, the sounds of it, the smell of it, it's not something you want to go through.
Shelby residents have experienced floods like this over and over again, most recently in 2011 and 2013. Once, around the time of a local festival, Shagg remembers watching prizes like teddy bears float by.
I saw a refrigerator was floating down the river, and it kind of hit the bridge and kind of stuck there. And some guys went on the bridge, opened the refrigerator up, and were pulling things out of the refrigerator.
It's been a while since the water's gotten that high, but now, due to climate change, scenes like this could become more frequent. The U.S. EPA predicts spring rainfall will increase and severe rainstorms will intensify over the next century. Both factors that increase the risk of floods. The people of Shelby are working to stop those floods from happening. In 2017, local farmer John Schroeder started a grassroots initiative, the Black Fork Cleanup Project, to clear 18 miles of the river.
We don't always get everything we want, but we all can agree that we don't want flooding in Shelby.
His group figured if the river can't flow freely, big storms will push it up until it overflows into the town. So the project hired a company to remove hundreds of downed trees and debris. Work like this can make a difference in certain cases, says Erica Thomas, the director of the Richland Soil and Water Conservation District. But it has to be an ongoing effort.
You don't just clean it once and then it's forever clean. There's always going to be trees falling in and debris and stuff that needs removed.
The city is working now on its own initiative to clean the river, but environmental and financial concerns have held up the process. And at the end of the day, there's no one silver bullet for preventing floods.
Of course, our funding can only extend from one city limit sign to the other city limit sign. You know, the Black Fork is a wonderful natural resource that flows through our city, but there's only so much we can do, you know, before the Black Fork gets here and after it leaves town.
So instead of focusing on stopping the river from flooding entirely, Shag and other community members are also trying to learn to ebb and flow with the river. The city has demolished dozens of homes in the floodplain. It's relocated places like the fire station and the old high school football field I played on all those years ago. And when it builds new facilities near the river, they're built to withstand high water. Take the town's newly opened downtown plaza, Shag says.
That's all been built with flood mitigation components in place that if we ever do experience flooding there, that, you know, the next day we just wash things down, dry things out, and we'll be ready to go within a matter of days.
It's impossible to predict when the Black Fork will flood next, but it will flood, Shag says, and the city wants to be ready.
That was Hayden Gray reporting. He worked with Aaron Gottsacker of the Ohio Newsroom on that story. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.
The Allegheny Front is based in Pittsburgh and reports on regional environmental news. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Mostly sunny skies today. There's a slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms in the north. High temperatures today in the 70s and 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, chance of rain and thunderstorms, lows in the 60s. Support for WVPB is provided by Marshall Health, providing comprehensive primary and specialty care throughout southern West Virginia and the tri-state region. More at marshallhealth.org. And by ZMM Architects and Engineers, an integrated design firm providing professional services in communities throughout the Mountain State and beyond. ZMM.com. Each year, dozens of base jumpers leap from the New River Gorge Bridge during Bridge Day. High school students Dylan Neal and Nella Fox of the Fayette Institute of Technology got curious about how to become a Bridge Day base jumper. For Inside Appalachia, they talked with an expert. Here's an interview with base jumper Marcus Ellison.
Bridge Day is an annual event that takes place every third Saturday in October at the New River Gorge Bridge. The main highlight of the event is the base jumpers, who jump off the bridge and safely parachute to the bottom. We wanted to find out how to become a base jumper at Bridge Day, so we interviewed Marcus Ellison.
My part in making Bridge Day happen is I am the base jumping coordinator for all of the jumpers. So part of what that entails is getting all the jumpers to sign up, and then basically just distributing all the information that they need so that they can show up to Bridge Day on time, arrive at the location where we have jumpers headquarters, and then make sure everybody knows where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing, all the safety information that they need, and basically just corralling all the jumpers to come to Bridge Day and have a pretty much seamless good time.
How do you become a jumper? Like, what is that sign-on process?
So for me, well, generally to become a base jumper, you start by learning how to skydive. So jumping out of airplanes, which is what I did. So typically, people who teach base jumping courses won't accept you into their base jumping course until you've had at least 200 skydives. Okay. And so you start by learning how to skydive, and that what that does is get you familiar with the parachute system as a whole. And once you start learning that equipment and gear, and as you progress through that, then someone will take you under their wing and teach you how to base jump.
How do you become a jumper at Bridge Day?
Once you have established yourself in the community as a known safe jumper, and someone has accepted you into their base jumping course, you know, that's sort of your first ticket into becoming a bridge deck jumper. Our community is fairly small. There's less than 5,000 people in the world that actively do this. And so we know who they are, right? And so we also know when somebody comes into our world and tries to lie to us. Somebody, there's, because people do this every year, they come in and say, oh, I've done all this training, blah, blah, blah. And you go, well, where did you do it? And they tell you, and then you go to that place because you know everybody there, and they go, yeah, we don't know this person. And we have to vet every single person that comes through because it happens every year. People try to deceive us. They think they can cut corners. And bridge day is a highly technical, it's a technical base jump. The landing area is small. There, you have flowing white water down there. There's a lot of dangers. So that's kind of the second step to becoming a bridge day base jumper.
Could you describe the experience of base jumping?
Yeah, man. Base jumping is I still struggle to find the words to describe it because it's such a unique and exhilarating experience. You know, people ask me all the time what it is that I do this for and why I do it. And it's mostly about the experiences I get to share with the other people. But there's these moments, you know, you're standing on the edge of something huge. And, you know, normally that's pretty crazy, you know, but you put a parachute on your back that, you know, is a life-saving device, you know, a piece of gear that you can trust and you know. And it sort of changes that perspective of standing on the edge of something tall is wild, right? It now becomes a little bit more normal, right? Because you have a piece of gear that can save you. So there's this, like, moment of freedom where your feet are touching the platform, and then there's that precise moment when you're not touching anything anymore. And there's this moment of lightness and freedom and escape where nothing else matters other than what's happening right there in that moment. And all you have to do is perform that jump. That's the only thing that matters in the world. Nothing else. No job, no money, girlfriends, whatever. Nothing else matters. It's just that. And that is an incredibly good feeling. And I think that's why a lot of people come and continue to do it year after year.
Would you recommend base jumping?
Absolutely. Yes, I would 100% recommend base jumping to anybody, within reason, obviously. Mm-hmm. And like we spoke about before, you got to go through the proper training to get there. You know, the steps that I told you about to train to base jump, I went through those same steps. I started skydiving in 2007. It's actually on my mother's birthday when I made my first jump. Yeah. September 29th, 2007 was my first skydive. Yeah, I would recommend it to anybody. It's not for everybody, but I would recommend it to anybody.
What does Bridge Day mean to you?
I'm from here. I grew up here, went to Oakhill High School, born and raised. And, you know, I am the first only true born and raised Fayette County local to jump on Bridge Day. And so that is, you know, that's something that brings a little extra special meaning to Bridge Day for me. And kind of helps keep me going to do this because, you know, it's a lot of effort and a lot of work to put this thing on. And it's also a huge responsibility safety-wise. You know, it has a special place in my heart because this is my hometown. Bridge Day is the oldest and longest running single-day extreme sports event on the planet. That's significant if you start thinking about it. You know, for 40 plus years, we've been doing this thing here in this little town you grew up in. And worldwide, it has huge implications on extreme sports events and just large public events as a whole. So it's been an honor for me to be a part of it, and I hope to keep doing it for as long as I can.
This was Dylan Neal and Noah Fox of Inside Appalachia.
Again, that was Dylan Neal and Nella Fox. They're media students at the Fayette Institute of Technology in West Virginia. This was their first radio story. To hear that story again and more, visit us online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Eric Douglas produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.